could all rise and join me in reading of Hebrews 10, 35 through 36. So it's two slides, just so you know. So don't throw away your confidence, which has a great reward for you. Yes, I will start again. This is a read along, so you go with me. So don't throw away your confidence, which has a great reward for you. Need endurance so that after you have done God's will, you may receive what is promised. And then the congregational prayer, and again, if you all join in this. Father, we praise you for the promise you give that when we rely on you, we can never throw away any of our confidence in Christ Jesus. We are ready to receive your rich reward today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, church.
Morning.
Isn't it good to give glory to our God? You see the fall sun out there, and we're a little more rested this morning, right? Got that extra hour. Well, let's give him all the glory that we can give him.
It's fine.
loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. Jeremiah 31:3.
Jen, put those words back up for me. Let's go back. Go back. Go back. Go back. Go back. Go back to the first of the last verse. Could we? There it is. Good morning, everybody. Look at these words. Could we, with ink, the ocean fill? You just came back from the Jersey Shore. Said I couldn't go into the water, Pastor. It was all ink. All right. Okay, so let's pretend that we all go down to the shore to see the ink and the, and it's ink. The whole Atlantic Ocean, in fact, all the way around the world into the Pacific, it's all ink. And were the skies of parchment made? In other words, if we could just take the ozone all the way around, all that blue sky, and we could make it a parchment. Next slide. Where every stalk on earth a quill. So we all go over to the bay. And we all pull these stalks that they would, you know, they would take papyri or feathers, and they would use them as ink quills.
in the day and the age before modern pen writing and ballpoints. And so we all grab one, we all dip it into the ocean, and we all start writing how much God's love means to us. Do you get the picture? You can pull that off. It would make the oceans drain dry. If we kept writing, we probably could stretch out everything that we wrote, given enough time of eternity to be able to write it all down. It'd probably stretch from one end of the Milky Way to the other. Do you get the picture? This is an immense love of God that we come to celebrate this morning. So let's pray. Let's pray. Our Father, our Redeemer, we just thank you so much for your glory and your majesty, how we praise you for the coming Thanksgiving season, even as this new month with the time change, we're reminded that you're the God of all time, who makes everything beautiful in its time, according to Ecclesiastes 3:14. The book of Genesis even says, while earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. What a promise to us. So, Father, even as the scriptures command, in everything we give thanks, we come to you this morning to just bring not only our hearts and our heart brimming full with thanksgiving, but even the things that we're not thankful for. Father, we just come to bring our every weakness, our every heartache, our every joy, our every explicit blessing, everything that we've received from you, Father, we just want to thank you. We want to dip the quill of our hearts into the ocean, pick up the ink, and we want to start writing it out in prayer. We just want to kind of write out there, God, I thank you. I thank you for this life. We thank you for our salvation in Christ Jesus. We thank you that we are here today to worship you. We thank you, Father, for every event that you've given us this week, our ministries, our Bible clubs, our Bible studies. We thank you for the work that you gave us all week. We thank you for the light of the night that you gave us this week. And Father, just thank you for the privilege of being able to show others God's light and truth in darkness. Father, I thank you for our missionaries. We thank you for the Vosters. We thank you, Father, for your work in Cambodia, halfway around the world from us. We thank you, Lord, for area pastors. I think of Josh over in Grace Bible Church over in Milford. We just thank you for him and for his wife, and just pray that you would be with that congregation even as they are working this morning. And we just look forward to, as a group of churches, being able Tuesday night after we vote to be able to go over there and to pray together and worship. 7 o'clock. Lord, I just pray that you would I give thanks to you that Landon got through this week with his sickness. Lizzie's getting through this week as she's still in the hospital. John's getting through his dialysis. Those on our prayer lists are healing. Those that have gone through a valley of shadows this week, Tracy's father, Walt. They had the funeral yesterday with Lisa and her mom, Nina, passing away. So we see the needs to be able to hold them up in prayer as they go through this grief. Father, give us hope. Father, thank you. Thank you especially this week for the people that touched our hand, for the people that said the words, I love you, to us. Thank you for the people who helped us in the moment when we couldn't help ourselves, or they just gave us a boost, or that you brought them into our lives to remind us of your comfort and your love. If you didn't spare your own son, how will you not provide freely and give us all things? So, Father, we, with childlike trust and comfort, we just come to thank you today. Father, thank you. Thank you for being a wonderful God. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Kids are dismissed to children's church at this time. And I just want to also bring some spotlight to several things that have been happening through the week, and just want to do this. It being voting is Tuesday, don't forget, voting is Tuesday. We're going to show the Light the Night slides from Friday night as I'm doing this, so you can keep an eye up there, and you can see a little bit of the blessings that God gave us as we were reaching out to our community. And we had quite a few friends and families and people visiting with us. And it was a wonderful, delightful time. But I also want to remind you that it's the time of year that in our constitution, we always renew our membership. And what that means is this, that we have been sending out by email to you a form letter that we do every year that asks you to just check and fill in the blank. I did mine already. And if I can do it online, you can do it online. But you go on and you click that little here, and you put your name in there, and you put your name in to confirm that you want to continue your membership. And we do this to get ready for the business meeting that takes place in December. And also, we want you to put your address, your phone number, and your email in there. And you're like, but you already know that. Well, we need to make sure we know it because we're going to put together a new directory. So it's important that you re-put them in, please. And if you don't do things by email and you would like a hard copy, we have hard copies out here on the table in the foyer. And just to remind you to do that, if you're a church member, we do that every year. And that's just a blessing that we do. And so if you remember to do that this week, I welcome you to do that. What I also want to share with you is a little bit of a challenge. I call it the Thanksgiving Challenge. A friend of ours gave us this idea, taken from the verse 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I wrote this on the first page of my Partners in Prayer, if you want to see it. But basically what we're asking you to do is simply this. I want to challenge you that this week, every day this week, you find three things to thank God for. Not just this week. Let's do it for the whole month of November. Okay? So starting today, three things that you are thankful for, and then you find somebody to share those three things with. Just one person. You can do it by text. You can pick up your phone and call somebody. You can write a letter. You can write an email. You can just do it as you're sitting, riding to work. Just try to find three simple things that you are thankful for. For example, I'm thankful for the letter that I got this week in the mail. And the person who did this was already starting their thankful things. And it's from Eileen. It says, dear PCBC family, John and I are just wanted to say thank you to everyone who helped us when John had his fall the other Sunday. We praise the Lord that we have people who are here for us in times such as this. God bless Eileen. See how easy that is? So Eileen did what we want to do. We just want to every day send out three things we are thankful for. And even families, when you get to the table at night, instead of going into the TV tray, sit around that table, and everybody, you can write something you're thankful for, put it in a jar, pass the jar around, everybody reaches in and pulls it out. What are you thankful for? And everybody can share. I'm thankful for three things. Okay? So I just want to give you that challenge. That's our ministry spotlight today, that you would just take up that challenge and that you would make a month of thankfulness real to you as we go towards Thanksgiving. Would you do that? Is that a good idea? Okay, glad to hear that. All right. So as we also know, we do Samaritan's Purse, and we do the boxes, and some of you have already been taking the boxes out and filling them and bringing them back. I just want to challenge you that, yeah, even though we've done some great times with Nelson two times this year, and we've done boxes with him, but this last time of Thanksgiving, we do this in November, I want to encourage you as people to fill the boxes. We've had 100 boxes sometimes in November as we take them. And I just want to encourage you to not forget about that challenge just because we've done boxes with Nelson. But praise the Lord that we support Nelson in his ministry. But also keep doing the boxes and bringing them in. And bringing them, when you do bring them in, the forms and everything are out there. and the boxes are out there. If you need a box, bring them in. And I don't know when the due date is. When is it? The 16th? Okay, so make sure you do that. So in order to support that ministry, we want to show you this wonderful video.
Heavenly Father, somewhere out there, maybe even on the other side of the world, there is a child who will receive this gift. A child whose name you know. A child you love and cherish. Bless the hands of those packing gifts. Give them the resources they need to create more and more of these gospel opportunities. Hear the prayers they lift up on behalf of the children who will receive them. Fuel the fire of each and every volunteer and project leader. Remind us not only of your love for these children, but for all of us. And may we be found faithful to do our part in your kingdom work. Lord, we may never meet those who will receive these gifts on this side of heaven, but may each of the churches and drop-off locations know that the fruit of their labor has an eternal kingdom impact. May we not grow weary of doing good. Work in and through the processing centers as volunteers carefully inspect each box and cover them in prayer, knowing that the next eyes to see what's inside will be those of the child who receives it. See these boxes safely over seas, over mountains, through every port and every road to reach the destinations you have set for them.
Jesus loves you.
Be present, Lord, even in the simplest of gifts. May your spirit go before us. May your love radiate from every box, every volunteer, every church leader, and each outreach event. And when the good news of Jesus Christ is presented to these little ones, may they experience your presence and see that the greatest gift of all is you. Make disciples of your truth, Lord. Use the greatest journey to help children and families learn who you are, how you came to save us, and how to tell others about you. Raise up believers in every corner of the earth to praise and proclaim your name. May your word go forth from these simple gifts into families, communities, and the entire world. Do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. We pray all of this in the holy, wonderful, and matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. I hope that captured your heart. I know it does mine. You know why? Because it gives us the big picture of why we're here. I mean, that is why we are here. We are here to be able to take the gift and the love of Jesus Christ, because we've received it, and to spread it around the world by God's grace. Amen. We're going to look into the scriptures this morning. So I have my Bible open to Romans chapter 8. So if you can find your way there, I would encourage you to open up your Bibles also. Romans chapter 8, as we go into this thankful season, we are thankful for God's holy confidence. And I entitled this, Confidence in a God Who Spares Nothing. Confidence in a God Who Spares Nothing. It just goes so well with what we just saw in that video. The power of a gift. The power of grace. The power of a free gift is impactful into our lives, isn't it? So we're going to see that same power through this scripture this morning. So let's pray together. Lord, it is good to be here. It is good to be with family, and it's good to be in a place where we can be loved and accepted, and where we can worship and where we can learn about you and have you speak to us. So I pray in a supernatural way that, Holy Spirit, you would use the scriptures to speak to every single one of us, because we're in need of hearing the wonderful joy of the verse of Romans 8:32. So please prepare and open our hearts now to you. And I give you this time, and I pray in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. I love this verse that as we've been talking about finding our confidence in God, we don't find our confidence in ourselves, but we find it in the Lord. So would you ever throw away your confidence in the Lord? I think that automatically every one of us would say we would never do that, but you know, there's a verse in Hebrews 10, verse 35, and I have it on the screen, and I know you can see it to your right. Do not throw away your confidence, the writer of Hebrews wrote. It will be richly rewarded. You need to preserve, or in other words, you need patience, you need to wait, so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. See, what's at stake? What's at stake according to this verse is that there are believers, even today, I hope that we're not a part of this, that every day of their lives, they are throwing their confidence in God away. Do you do that? Sometimes we don't do it on purpose. I just recently, one of the many millions of times, and I'm not going to talk specifics because it wouldn't matter, but it happens all the time. I go up to Lori and I say, Lori, where did I put my da-da-da-da-da-da? And she responds, where did you put your da-da-da-da-da-da? And I say, well, I know that I put it somewhere where I wouldn't forget. Guess what? I don't remember where that is. But I thought I put da-da-da-da-da-da-da right here. And she'd say, honey, I hate to tell you this, but I saw you pick up that da-da-da-da-da-da with all that other stuff and throw it in the garbage can about a week ago. And I thought you knew what you were doing. And then I have nothing more to say than, my fault. I threw away something that I had confidence in that I needed. And we've all done this, whether it's been a bill or a receipt or money or a note or a letter or a card or something that we had to take care of and remember. And the reason we lose confidence is because we've devalued whatever it was, and we've thought, well, I don't need this any longer, and we just accidentally pitched it away. Some of us, maybe we pitched it away on purpose. Some of us, maybe it was the fact that we don't know where we put it down, and now we can't find our car keys or whatever it is that we are going through. But how many Christians are going through their life every day forgetting and throwing away their confidence? And brothers and sisters, the Lord doesn't want that for us. Because confidence isn't found through ourselves. We don't just grab a hold of Philippians 4:12 and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and just go about march through life confidently. We can't. We are too weak. We are sinners. We are unable. We need God's mercy constantly in our lives. We need to be like little children standing in a stairway that we can't get up, and we're saying, God, help us get up the stairway. And the good news is that as Paul writes the book of Romans, he is going to do that for us. He has been giving us five questions in Romans 8, and we've been looking at each question each week. Last week, we looked at verse 31. If God is for what? Us. Who can be against us? How many of you wrote your name into that? It's a great verse, isn't it? And it's a verse that reminds us of his presence. God is, let me put it even better. You know, we get into a situation in life and then we start saying, God, will you be on my side? Mm-mm. God says, listen, you're going to be on my side. I'm going to bring you through Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, into my side. And that's what he did for us. So that's why we can say when we have the presence of God in our lives, we have this confident promise, if God is with me, who can be against me? Now, Paul is going to give us one in verse 32. And so I'm going to read the promise to us. Look at Romans 8, verse 32. This is the second question of the passage. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What we're going to see here is something a little bit different than what we saw last week. Last week we saw the confidence in his presence. This week we see the confidence in his provision, because God is going to give us confidence in the things that he provides for us. And we're going to see that in 3 points. God's confidence because he's done something in the past for us. We're going to see God's confidence because it was something that was a costly payment that he paid totally for us. And then thirdly, God's confident promise of provision for everything else above that. And so they're the 3 things that give us confidence in God's provision in our lives. I don't know if you've ever been to times in your life where you've been praying for something and praying for something and praying for something, and it didn't come through, and you're thinking, God's mad at me. God's not for me. We're on the other side of the verse after saying, if I'm on God's side, who can be against me? But then when we don't see our prayers answered, we lose our confidence. What are the things that make Christians throw away their confidence? And I wrote down, I don't have these on a slide for you, so you'll have to listen. I wrote down 6 things that I think biblically cause us to lose our confidence in God. And here they are. Number one, when we willfully sin. In fact, that is in Hebrews chapter 10, the same verse that from the same passage that I told you about not to throw away your confidence. A few verses before that, he says that very thing. He says, do not sin willfully against the blood of Jesus Christ. You're trampling Christ's blood under your feet. If you knowingly do wrong and you as a believer claim the blood of Jesus Christ to forgive you, don't knowingly trample that thought under your feet. And I think Christians do that a lot. And they just tell themselves, well, God will still forgive me. Don't do that. That's going to take away your confidence. Here's the second one. When we walk in the flesh and not walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5, verse 16. When we get up each day of our lives and we don't refresh our hearts in the things of the Lord, we're throwing away our confidence for the day. And we're just going to go out there and we're going to live our life and do our work and interact with people, and we're going to do it all of our own confidence. And it's going to fail us because we're not going in the Spirit's confident power. Here's the first one was willful sin. Second one was walking in the flesh. Here's the third one. When we abandon the trustful activity of prayer. When we don't take things to God in prayer, just like that hymn, take it to the Lord in what? Prayer. In 1 Corinthians, I'm not 1 Corinthians, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, it says, this is the confidence that we have. If we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. So one of the ways that we throw away our confidence is that we don't check in with God about things. We don't pray about the problems or the things that come our way. We try to fix them ourselves. That's throwing away our confidence. Here's the fourth one. When persecution comes upon us, we kind of fall back fearfully and we throw away our confidence. That's what was happening to the Hebrew Christians in the book of Hebrews. They were under such severe persecution and fear that they were afraid to stand for the things of Christ. And so as a result, they were afraid to witness. They were afraid to tell others about Jesus and what Jesus was doing in their lives. And they were throwing away their confidence. Here's the fifth one. The fifth one is that when you have an opportunity to speak out a right or a truth of God, but you're afraid to do it. You're afraid to do it. You're throwing away your confidence. You say, you know, it's like if you had to cure for cancer and somebody's standing there going, oh, but I got cancer, and you have the cure, and you look at them and you say, I'm afraid to do this. I'm not going to give them the cure for cancer. That's called the sin of omission. That's holding back something that is good for someone else. That's throwing away our confidence, and we do that all the time. Sometimes we do that when an opportunity to say thank you. Remember I challenged you to say thank you? So you're at the store, and somebody does something for you, or at a restaurant, someone does something for you, and you don't say thank you to them. And that's throwing away your confidence. We've got to be a thankful people with a thankful spirit. And here's the last one. The last one is fear. When we just feel like we can't make it anymore, we're not going to get through the journey. We just don't have enough stamina. We don't have the supply that we need. We don't have what it takes on the inside. And we just give up on the Lord, and we start worrying and we start fretting, and we no longer have confidence that God is going to get us through the situation or to our destination. A lot of people feel this way when it comes to their salvation. A lot of people, they fear that when they die, they're not going to go to heaven. That is a way that we throw away our confidence. So whether it's one of those things that you struggle with or not, I'm praying that God is, we're looking at this passage, this wonderful verse, is one of the greatest verses that were ever written, that the Lord will just impress upon our hearts the importance of God's confidence. Why should we, number one, feel confident? Because God, he already performed something in the past for us. And that should give proof to our hearts that we can have confidence in what he's already done. Look at 8:32, look at the first part of the verse. I love this. He who did not spare his own son. Who is he talking about there? He's talking about Jesus, of course. He's talking about Jesus Christ. And who was Jesus? Jesus was the second person of the Trinity. He is God. He became a man at incarnation at Christmas time. He lived the perfect life on this earth, the life we could not live. He lived in perfect righteous relationship with God the Father. And then when he went onto the cross, he died for our sins as our substitute, as our payment. It was his precious blood that had to be shed because we're sinners. Sinners can't save sinners. We're already tainted in our sin. We can't bring anything of holiness or righteousness to God. And God did not spare his own son. He paid the ultimate price of Jesus on Calvary for you and me. He gave us the biggest, most expensive gift imaginable. Think about that. And he didn't hold it away from you, and he didn't hold it up over you, but he gave it to us. You know, there's an Old Testament story that really illustrates this verse. And I'm just going to reference it real quick and take us back to Genesis 22. You remember the patriarch Abraham. And Abraham was learning to walk by faith, and he was trying to follow the Lord into the land of Canaan to find this promised land. And he was waiting for a son. Remember God said him and Sarai did not have children. And God was telling him that I'm going to provide a son for you. And when God provided in Genesis 17, he provided Isaac, which meant laughter, because one time when God was talking with them, and he said, "You're Sarah's going to have a child," and Sarah heard it, and she laughed. You know, it wasn't a laugh of faith; it was a laugh of no confidence. Yeah, God's going to do that. I'm 90 years old. Abraham's 100. We're going to have kids, right? We're just dried up and old. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen at all. And she laughed, and God said, why did you laugh, Sarah? And so after he left, in a year's time, when we find out that Isaac is born, and they called him Isaac, which means laughter, because they had the confidence that God gave them that child. Well, in verse 22, God asks the unthinkable, that anyone could ask a human being. And you know what God said? He said, I want you to take your son Isaac, I want you to go up on Mount Moriah, and I want you to take a knife and I want you to plunge it into his heart until he is dead, and I want you to do it for me. What kind of a God? You hear the atheists say this all the time when they reference this Bible story. Unbelievers do it too. What kind of a God would even ask such a thing? You know, it's interesting that when you read the story, Abraham, it's kind of gives you the idea that Abraham was willing to do it. Didn't mean he wanted to do it, but he was willing to do it. And it even says in the book of Hebrews that he would have done it believing that God would raise Isaac from the dead, if that's what God wanted. But did the God of the universe actually make him do that? No. He stopped him as the knife is about to come down. He stops him. He points to the thorn bush, and there in the thorn bush is the lamb, the perfect lamb. And what was he to do? He was to take that perfect lamb and put it on the altar instead of Isaac, his son, and he was to offer the lamb. And they called God that day Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. That is what this phrase is all about. He who did not spare his own son. You see, the reason God did not spare his own son is because God is not like us, sinful and fallen. God is holy, pure, and true, and just. And you know what? God is not cruel or pernicious or hateful or mean, and he would not even expect us to give our own kids as a sacrifice, because that's evil. But he is a God who can provide and make the provision, whereas we can't. We give things out of what we can spare. Oh, you know, you think of maybe your kid goes to prison, and you run up to the judge and you're like, God, spare my son, spare my son. Don't take from my provision. God is not a God who takes from his own spare. He is the God who creates time. He creates life. He is the God that can provide. And that's what he did. He provided his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. Jehovah Jireh is to be read by light of the streams from the cross of what Jesus did for us when he died on that cross. So here's the application. When God gives, he spares nothing. He doesn't have to give of his meagerness. He gives of his abundant creation. But man is different. We are different. When we give, we always give of our spare. Think about that. So what better way to show us that when he gives, he doesn't give of his spare, he gives of his abundance. And in our salvation, that's what God did for us. That's point one. Here's point two. God's confidence and costly payment is found in this wonderful verse of confidence and provision. But now look at the next part of the verse. But he delivered him, Christ, up for us all. Not for a few, not for some, but for all of us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he that has the Son has life, and he that does not have the Son does not have life. Eternity is never the problem with God. He's always, always willing, always open, always giving, always loving, always offering. The problem is us. We're not receiving. But he delivered him up for us all. I'm not a lawyer, and I don't ever want to be a lawyer, but do you know that there's a Latin term that lawyers use in argumenting of court? And it's called fortitori argumentum. Fortitori argumentum. And what it is you argue the greatest gift. And once you've proven the greatest gift, All the rest are lesser gifts, and they're no problem at all. In other words, if God provided the greatest of sacrifice through Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sins, and that's a proven fact, then everything else is a lesser gift. Everything else is a lesser gift. It's not given out of grudgery, but it's given out of pure love and joy. Let me give you an example of this. Let's say you decide you're going to go buy a watch. So you go to the jewelers and you go in there and you look at all the watches and you look at the diamond stud watches and you look at the Rolexes and you say to them, I want the most expensive watch that money can buy. And so he brings it out and there it is. It's all for you. And you're like, I want that watch. And he goes, here. Well, aren't you going to wrap it? Aren't you going to put it in a case? Aren't you going to put like even a little paper around it? No. You can't have that for free. That's the argument fortiori. It should be no sweat off of that jeweler's brow to give you a little brown piece of paper to wrap your Rolex in. It should come with the price of the Rolex. You could do this with anything. Think about you going into Sunglasses Hut. You buy these wonderful pair of peepers to walk around, show off, and show how cool you are as you're driving your convertible. And they give you one of those fancy, cool leather cases to put your glasses in. And you're about to walk out. You didn't pay for the leather case. No. In the little cloth that you clean it with. No. That is the lesser. That's the lesser gift. It should have been in the price. And usually, if you got a good deal, you should get those things, right? And you kind of get that, right? Okay, let's do it with a car. You go up to Emmaus Avenue, and my son Andrew's up at the Acura dealership, and you walk right in there and you say, Drew, show me the Acura. And he shows you the latest brand Acura that fits your family, fits your taste, and you're getting in the car, and you're smelling the leather, and you're, this is great. And you look down, and WeatherTech, everywhere along the floors. Do I have to pay more for the WeatherTech? Nope. It's in the price of the car. It's in the greater gift. You don't have to pay for the lesser. So do you get the principle? If Jesus Christ paid for every one of our sins, anything that you would need after that, anything you would dare to ask after that, guess what? It's a lesser gift. It's in the price. It's already going to be taken care of. It's the proof of ultimate devotion. He already cares and understands what you're going through and the problems that you face. He's already taking care of you. And here's the application. Is there an area in your life you feel you're losing your confidence in God because you don't realize that he's already paid the price? He's already made the provision. It's already taken care of. You can go through your life and you can be mad at God and thinking God is holding out on you and living your life like, well, God doesn't care about me. He doesn't take care of me. He doesn't love me. He's not doing for me the things that I need. And you can live your life like that. But beloved, you're throwing away your confidence because he's already proven in your salvation that the cost that you couldn't pay, the amount of life that you couldn't spare, he already paid it for you through Jesus Christ your Lord. He paid the price of the greater gift of your salvation. So how will he not give you what you need today? So why are you treating God like God does? He's mad at me all the time. He doesn't love me. He doesn't care for me. He's not answering my prayer. I did wrong. He probably doesn't want to walk with me today. I'm not going to ask him for things. I'm not going to, Hebrews 4:16 says, go to the throne of grace and ask for mercy in time of need. Why should I even pray? Because I can do it myself. And that's how we live our lives. And that's throwing away our confidence. And some of us are throwing away our prayer confidence. We're throwing away our salvation confidence. We're throwing away just the joyful attitude of having a Father who knows our needs and wants to meet our needs. And we're not believing that he's going to meet our needs. What? Are you throwing away your confidence? Here's the last point. God's confident promise of provision. Now look at this next part of the verse, verse 32. How shall, and I love this part of the verse. This is a rhetorical question. How shall he not freely give? Now the word that's used there is the word charismatic, where we've heard it used in denominational lines called charismatics, but it's the word charis, grace, mata, excitement. It's the idea of a free grace gift, a gift that's given to you with no strings attached, a gift and a provision that's given to you like the Samaritan purse gifts that we saw in the video, that are packed with love, are packed with wonderful little surprises that, you know, these kids, they don't have the ability to go to the store. We were trying to explain to Oliver and Peter as we were making our boxes that the kids can't go to Walmart where they live that are going to get these boxes. And they can't just pick up a new toothbrush, but you're going to provide that for them. And think how excited they're going to be when they pull that out. And so the kids wanted to put more in. They wanted the box so stuffed we needed a box about this big, because they caught on to the freely given part. And see, if God freely gave you his son, which was the greatest of gift, is there anything in your life today that he can't give you? I'm seriously asking you to think about that question. Is there anything in your life right now that he can't give you? He gives us all things. You know, let me just say what great confidence there is when grace is a free product in our heart and our lives, just like that verse says. He's given us all things. And that idea of freely giving us all things means that if something happens in my life, something goes wrong in my life, our response shouldn't be, sometimes it is because we mess up. And when we do that, 1 John 1:9, we sincerely go with repentance before the Lord and make things right. And yes, there are times when we do hurt other people and we do wrong and hurt their feelings and offend them. And what do? You go, Matthew 18, to them and you make it right and you make the relationship right. But can you imagine the feeling of confidence when you're walking up to somebody that you don't, let's say you owed John Ray $1 million. Every time John Ray would come through that door and you didn't have the money, you know what I would be doing? I'm going to go see Tom over here. I'm going to avoid John Ray. Why? I don't have confidence to be. Listen, when your Heavenly Father calls upon you every day of your life, do you treat him like that? Do you push away and try to do things your own way without the confidence freely given to you? Listen, that should open you up to have a confidence to enter boldly to the throne of grace, as Hebrews 4:16 says, to find help in time of need. And it's not just some things. What if God doesn't want to answer the prayer or my need? I mean, I've had a lot of people do that. They say, well, there's just some things that maybe God would want me to have, but other things that God may not want me to have. And I want you to notice the word all that's in that text. Look at it again. Verse 32. Shall he not with him also freely give us what things? All things. Do you know this word all is the most incredible small, it's the biggest little word in this verse. Let me kind of give you a little idea of this. He can handle the all things that he's given you. If we were to give our all to him, our total trust, as this word says, it's gonna meet our needs. There is a writer, his name is Pastor Robert Morgan, and he wrote this wonderful little article about all is the greatest word in the Bible. And I'm just going to read a little smidgen of what he writes. He says, all is the biggest word in the Bible. Not some things, not a few things, not a lot of things, not select things or even good things or bad things or funny things. But when God says all, he means all things. There's no asterisk on the word all. There's no exceptions or exemptions. It's neither a hyperbole or an exaggeration. If it were not all-encompassing, it wouldn't be worth the paper it was printed on. All means all. It turns out that all is one of God's favorite words. He writes, I sat down at my dining room table, and I started writing down all the words that use the all in the Bible. There are 5,675 alls in the Bible. Some of them are this. I came across this verse, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. It is a verse that I knew well. Indeed, I had memorized it. But now I saw something I'd never saw before, casting all my care. And then I came upon this verse in 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power has given to you all things that pertain to life and godliness. And then I found this verse, and I noticed it. The God of all grace, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. The God of all comfort. He writes, believe it or not, I looked up all these alls in Scripture, and the one of the all these alls mean the most in Romans chapter 8. When you look at the passages of Romans chapter 8, you know what you find around it? Romans 8, 28. Remember Romans 8, 28? And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And then you look at verse 32. And he who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not give us all things? And then look down in verse 33. No, it's on all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Since all things work together for good, since God graciously gives us all things, the frequency of this word in Scripture speaks to us of the all-sufficiency of our Almighty Savior. It speaks of the omni quality of God and of his complete devotion for us that we should we cannot afford him, but he is our all-in-all. He is our almighty. He is our all-enabling, all-encompassing, all-sufficient Savior. And I say, whoo, wow, amen. That's the biggest word I've ever preached. The confidence of all. So what do you need? I mean, the question that we need to ask ourselves is, what do you need? No matter the cost or the loss, you can't exhaust him. So what is it you need? I found this quote from Spurgeon. I loved it. If you're a believer in Jesus, God is yours. The perfect man is yours. Christ's life, his death, his blood, his righteousness, his intercession, his incarnation, his second advent are all yours and all else that you need. But ask boldly, receiving gratefully, waiting patiently, hoping trustfully, walking rejoicingly. For as God has given you his son, shall he not with him also freely give you all things? So you got to stop a moment and you got to make this verse the filter of your life a minute. Can you say confidently, Father, this is my need, and I know that you're going to meet that need? If you take your life and you take this verse as a lens and you start looking back to the moment of your salvation, and maybe that's a long time, maybe it's a short time, I don't know, and you start looking at all that he gave you because you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you start looking through those difficult moments in your life or those trying times of your life, and look at how he proved himself for you by giving you all that you need. Did you go hungry? Was there ever a time where he didn't give you of his riches? Was there ever a time when he didn't give you the shelter you needed or the food that you needed? It may not have been what you wanted, but it was what you needed. when you were in the worst of the trials that you were in or the worst of the suffering that you were in? Did he get you through? So you need to ask this question. What do you need from God this morning? Do you need his confidence? Do you need assurance of your salvation? Do you need strength in your life right now? Do you need his wisdom? James 1:5 says that if you're in a situation that is unsolvable by whatever means is possible, there might not be a court on earth that can fix this. But there is a court in heaven. You need direction for something right now. You don't know what it is that you should do because you're just on that pushed into the corner and you have no idea where you should go or what you should do or the move that you should make. What do you need? Do you need patience? Do you need healing from God right now? And I'm not going to say that God will heal every single person just because you're a child of God. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. Certainly, we can ask for him to bring healing. And let me just say something. You know, if you were to hear the doctor this week look at you and say, it's the big C. It's cancer. Do you know that this verse says that he will give you all things? You know, the big C isn't cancer. Cancer is spelled with a little c because Christ, who heals every disease, is spelled with the big C. Do you believe it? What do you need? What do you need from your Father right now? I know that when we were, little while ago, we've been talking about, since we have our second son and daughter-in-law are expecting a little boy, and we just had the baby shower, and we're talking about the things that are future that are coming, and it caused me to remember that one of the comforts that our first son Drew had when he was a little boy, he had this blanket, like a Linus blanket. He literally wore the thing to, I'm not kidding you, tatters and threads. We were looking through some stuff one time, and I don't remember how long ago this was, but we found just this little fragment of his blanket that he had worn that thing apart. And I think you stuck it in his baby book, right? Or something. You preserved it somehow. Yeah, you framed it. She framed it to remind us. You know, here's this little guy who is looking for comfort in life. And when we try to get our confidence from ourselves and from other things in our life around us and from our money and from our friends and from our positions and from our raise and from all those other things, it's like that little tattered blanket. It's not going to meet our needs. Not at all. But if God can give us Christ, he can give us more than all to cover our needs. Do you know what God is giving us? He is giving us this comfort. This blanket of comfort, this promise, Romans 8:32 promise of comfort. And you know what? This isn't the little blanket of tattered threads that good old, this is the comfort of all. I mean, this big thing is when you're sitting in our living room and you're tired, everybody wants the comfort from me mom. This is me mom's comforter. I mean, every grandkid wants to get under this thing. And guess what? Every grandkid can get under this thing. Do you know God's promises are the same for you this morning? Don't throw away your confidence. Loved ones, don't throw away your confidence. What is your need that you need God to wrap your heart in Romans 8:32 to give you the confidence and the comfort that he's going to provide for you? Do you believe it? Is it more than just a message coming out of my mouth that's up here? Is it in here? Do you believe it? Do you have the confidence? Do you believe it? Father, we thank you so much that you come to us today and you give us so much confidence. Thank you for Romans 8:32. I just pray that you would bless our hearts. You've shown your provision in our lives, and even though we might be in a situation in our lives where we just don't know how to ask, but don't let us throw away your grace. Father, we just come to you. We're going to sing a song about God's grace coming to us, and I want to run towards your grace. I want us all to run towards you this morning, like little children, like little grandchildren, into the loving arms of their Father above. Listen, if you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your personal Lord and Savior, you need his grace for your salvation. Or maybe you just have a need this morning and you just need to take it with confidence before the Lord, and you need to say, Lord, according to this verse, you gave me the greatest gift. You're not going to treat me with contempt. You're not going to be fickle with me. You're not going to be mad at me. You're not going to be angry with me. I'm just going to take this wonderful promise, and I'm going to wrap it around my heart and my life, that you're going to comfort and meet my every need, whatever my need is right now, Lord. I'm bringing it to you. So, Father, we do that in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you please stand if you're able?
Thank you. just want to let everyone know we do have a whole bunch of leftovers from Trunk or Treat in the back. So if you love the fellowship, if you want to move in there and eat too, that would be awesome.